Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. There's sunshine in my soul.
Amen.
You know, I'm happy today.
Amen.
My sins are forgiven.
Amen.
I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
He has cleansed me from all my sin.
Amen.
Wow, that's amazing. Never gets old. Something we come together and worship Jesus Christ for, and He deserves it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we are talking about errors in the Corinthian church, and we've been looking at them. We've been learning from the church of Corinth, some lessons, and you know, we don't want to be making mistakes, and we probably are in some areas, and the truth is we want to correct any mistakes that we are making. And we want to foresee mistakes that might come later on, stuff like this. And so the Corinthian church is a really good church to take note of and learn both good examples, because they did have some good things, but also bad examples and what we need to avoid. Today we're going to be talking about the error of gathering carelessly. The church here does show that they were gathering together. And I think Paul commends them for this. I think he's probably referencing that in chapter 11, verse 2. We read that last week, but verse 2, he just says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you." They were doing some things, and they were keeping the ordinances that he had left them. And I think he taught them the Lord's Supper. Paul taught them how to keep the Lord's Supper. He told them, y'all need to gather together and do some stuff. And he did teach them this thing. And I think he's saying, hey, I'm glad y'all are doing it. I'm glad y'all are continuing in on it. Because a lot of times, churches might forget the doctrines that the apostles have left. And that is a real mistake. We should not forget the ordinances of the apostles. Listen, we have Christ's doctrines through the teachings of the apostles. Jesus didn't write a book and leave us a book of His words. Jesus taught His apostles, and His apostles has given to us the doctrine that we should carry on. And so Paul says, hey, I praise y'all that y'all are continuing in these ordinances. And that's a good thing. And we should continue the ordinances of the apostles. We should continue their doctrines, their commandments, their traditions, the things that they've given us. And so they were doing this. But look in verse 17. He says, "Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse." He says, okay, y'all are coming together, and I'm glad y'all are coming together, but I'm not praising you, and I don't exalt you in this, that whenever y'all do come together, you're not coming together for the good, you're coming together for the worse. You're making things worse. Y'all are actually having more problems because y'all are coming together in a wrong way. And he says, I'm glad y'all are doing these things. I'm glad y'all are coming together. I'm glad you're coming and having the Lord's Supper, but I'm not glad that you're doing it in a wrong way. And what I basically call this is gathering carelessly. Not that they didn't have any care in the world, but that they did not care about the things God cared about. They were not putting a focus on what God wanted from them. They were gathering for their own purposes and delighting in their own things. They weren't coming together to purposefully think about what God wanted from them. And the gathering of ourselves together is not for us to just simply enjoy and have fun together. The purpose for us to come together is to accomplish what Jesus wants us to accomplish. And that is a focus on His doctrine, a teaching, a confrontation of our sin, a worship of Jesus Christ, a love for Him, a unity. It's all of these things that bring us together, and there's a purpose to our gathering, and we can't do it carelessly. And so He's going to talk about some of these things. So let's go ahead and read this passage. Starting in verse 17, we'll read that again, and we'll go ahead probably till the finish, just to know what he's saying. "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, When ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken. And what? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Let's just stop there for a minute. He's saying, listen, what y'all are doing when y'all are coming together is not the purpose for coming together, and I do not praise you for this. This is wrong. He's telling them, this is wrong. What y'all are doing is not correct. And some of the things they were doing, look, they had divisions amongst them, right? And so remember this, we talked about at the beginning of the book, there was divisions and there were real groups that were forming and they were divided one against another. And so Paul is talking to them and he's being very specific about the Lord's Supper. When they come together to participate in the Lord's Supper, he says there's a problem because y'all have divisions amongst each other. There's divisions. They hadn't fixed those problems of divisions, and then they came together and acted like it was no big deal. Look, the Lord's Supper has a lot of things that it should cause in us and for us, and as a gathering together, we should be transformed every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, because it's a real remembrance that should affect our life. And as a church, it should cause us to humble ourselves and become unified, right? Because whenever we come for the Lord's Supper, we're actually thinking about Him, we're thinking about our Savior, we're thinking about what He has done, that He has died on the cross, that He rose again, that He's coming back for us one day. I mean, it's all of these things, and our focus is on Him, and that should, you know, drive away all the divisions that we have. Okay, so you like this thing better, or you like this over here, or we have little stupid divisions between each other. When we come and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, all those things should just kind of disappear and we should be unified. But they're coming together and they don't have a sense of caring what God is thinking about. They're still caring about their own things. They're focused on their groups, on their divisions, on their stuff, and they're not allowing the Lord's Supper to do what it's supposed to do, which is to unify us when we think about Jesus Christ. And so that was a real problem. And they didn't care to fix their divisions. They didn't care to stop this division that was amongst them in order to be unified when they come together with the Lord's Supper. They didn't care about that at all. You know, whenever we come to worship Jesus Christ and when we come to focus on Him, that should take care of, we should think about our problems and our divisions and the issues we have between us, and we should be willing to ask for forgiveness and forgive and reconcile while we consider Jesus Christ. Doesn't Jesus say that whenever in Matthew He talks about you coming to present a gift at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you? He says, leave your gift there at the altar and go get that right with your brother before you come worship Me, right? And so we should, whenever we come to the Lord's Supper, we should be drawn to an understanding that a lot of other differences should dissipate when we're focusing on Jesus Christ. We shouldn't have these petty divisions amongst us. And we should be focusing on Jesus Christ. So that was one thing they were doing very carelessly. It looks like they didn't have regard for the poor. He says, some people are eating, they're taken before His own supper. One is hungry, another is drunken. So some of them are full and being, I guess, gluttonous. Others are drinking until they're getting drunk. Others don't have enough food and they're not eating. I mean, it's just like a real problem that they're going through. And they're focusing again on themselves. This meeting, it looks like they had maybe, you know, it would be like if we had the dinner on the grounds before we had the Lord's Supper. And that would be a neat thing, right? Oh, let's get together, let's eat. And then after we're done eating, we can break the bread and partake in the cup so that we can remember Jesus Christ together. And that would be a good thing to do. But what happens when people start thinking, oh, the reason I want to go to church is to eat that food and have a good time of fellowship, but then we despise whenever it's time to actually focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and break the bread? That's the part we don't like. And the reason we want to gather is because we want the fellowship and we want the food, but we don't care about the actual doctrine. That would become a problem. That's a real problem. And I think they were having that problem right here very, very obviously. They were eating, they were feasting, they were still divided, they were still having factions among themselves, they weren't caring about each other. You know, some of them weren't waiting, and that's how he finishes. You know, we need to wait for one another. They weren't waiting. They didn't care about each other. And they were focused on this meal. They're happy about that. They were getting drunk. They were having a good time. They were doing all that, but they forgot the importance of the Lord's Supper and what it was meant to do. And Paul says, this is a real problem. It's a real issue, and we don't want that to be an issue in our church. They despised the gathering. It says in verse 22, despise ye the church of God, shame them that have not. You're despising the church of God. And this should bring us to remembrance what the purpose is in coming and gathering together. And it's not about ourselves. It's not about what we want, and it's not about our desires. It's about accomplishing what God would have us accomplish in the gathering together. So, look at what Paul says in verse 23. He's teaching us. He's telling us, this is what we're supposed to do. This is what y'all are coming together for. They were failing to make the focus about Jesus Christ and remembering Him at the Lord's Supper. This is the whole point they were gathering together, and they weren't doing it. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Amen.
Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. He says, if you're not doing this with this focus in mind, with this purpose, you are being guilty of judgment. You are guilty of doing this unworthily of the Lord's body. And so he's telling us there's a purpose in why we're doing this. When we come together, we should submit to what Christ has done. So the Lord's Supper, it should unify us by humbling us when we come before it. When we're thinking about what Jesus Christ has done, and I think every time Paul, you just read the epistles, read the New Testament, Peter, he brings up Jesus Christ. They bring up Jesus Christ and they bring up his death. They bring up his resurrection. They bring this up all the time. And look at how reflecting on Jesus Christ can change your life. I mean, you reflect on Jesus Christ, whom having no guile, right? There was nothing, and he willingly offered himself. This should teach you some things. This should teach you how to be able to serve others, how to be able to be sacrificial to yourself. I mean, remembering the Lord Jesus Christ should do something in your life. It should confront you with your sin and lead you to repentance. When you're thinking about Jesus Christ and what he had to go through to save you from your sins, and you are living in your sin, that should confront you directly and say, hey, you shouldn't take what Jesus did lightly. And you should confess your sin and repent and get right with God in that moment. It should remind you of Christ's example, and it calls you to conform yourself to His image and be like Him. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper, and none of this is interesting to us, that's not what we're there for. We don't want to consider Christ. We don't want to remember Him. We don't want to think about Him. Then we are not taking Him seriously. We're careless, and we're gathering in a careless way. And Paul shows that this was not a good thing, and it was not a good thing, so much so that God was actually judging them for it. So he says, listen, this is what I left you with, right? I gave you an ordinance to do the Lord's Supper. You're doing the Lord's Supper, but you're doing it all wrong. You're doing it carelessly. Let me remind you of what and how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to do what Jesus told us to do. Do it in remembrance of Him. Do it in remembrance of Him. And so that's what He gives us. And look at what God had some judgment on them. They were doing it unworthily. They were doing it in a wrong manner. They were doing it carelessly. They weren't really doing it for the purpose that Christ had. They weren't remembering Him. And so he says in verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." When you come to the Lord's Supper, you can look at yourself, examine yourself, and think about what are you focused on right now. When we gather, you should consider, what is your focus? What is your desire? Why are you here? Why are we here? It's to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have that opportunity to reflect and to recognize what your purpose is when you're doing this, right? And so there should be a focus. There should be a reason that you're doing it. But when they weren't doing it that right, whenever they were doing it this way, carelessly as they were, in verse 29 it says, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself," judgment, "not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak." So God was actually judging them because they weren't doing it correctly, and people were weak, they were sickly among them, and many sleep. Even many had died because of a consequence, because God was not happy with what they were doing. They had contempt for the Lord's table. And then he says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." What he's telling them is, if you would fix yourself, the Lord wouldn't have to fix you. Listen, you're in an error. You're in a mistake. You're doing things wrong. You are coming to the Lord's Supper and you're making a feast out of it, and you're doing everything you want, and you have your divisions, and you're eating and enjoying and doing all these things, and you're just forgetting completely the purpose that Christ gave us this, that was to focus on Him and to do all these things in your heart while you're thinking about it. And whenever you're doing it wrong, the Lord has to judge you for it. And that's why many of you are sick, and many of you have even died because of it. And he reprimands them or gives them an exhortation. If you would fix yourself, God wouldn't have to fix you. If you would judge yourself, the Lord wouldn't have to judge you. Which is a great, great reminder. Hey, you can fix the errors that you're in. And God does want you to fix them. God wants you to get them right. So don't wait for the Lord to have to cast judgment upon you. Just fix yourself. Get it right. Amen. But, he says in verse 32, "But if you're not fixing yourself, the Lord's going to have to do it." And so, he says, "When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." In other words, the Lord has to bring judgment upon sin. He's just. He has to bring judgment. And if you're doing this carelessly and God has to judge you for it because you're not getting it right, well, he's not gonna let it pass without bringing judgment. He's not gonna let it pass without bringing any type of judgment on it. And so he has to judge you right now so that he doesn't have to judge you and condemn you with the world. And I look at this and I think, man, this is just another instance where I see that God's salvation is secure. Listen, he's saying, even if I have to kill you in order not to damn you, I will do it. later on. So that you're not condemned with the world, I will let you suffer in the flesh and even have to give your flesh up to death in order not to condemn you with the world. So God has to judge our sin. We can't live as Christians in sin and in disregard of God's doctrine and in disregard of God's purposes and think that there's no judgment for it, that there's no problems, that there's no consequence. We can't live that way as a Christian. You have to recognize that what God has said is important and there are consequences. There are consequences. And so again, the point is, get it right. You're doing it wrong. And if you're doing it wrong, get it right. There was judgment because of it. Wherefore, my brethren, verse 33, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Wait for another. Think about each other, right? Consider each other. Stop having this division. Stop thinking that the other people don't matter. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. The purpose coming here isn't to just have a good time and fill your belly. It's that you come together, not to come together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. I don't want y'all to come together and cause more problems for yourselves. I don't want y'all to come together and be careless in this matter, and then God have to judge y'all for it, and there's more problems in y'all's lives for it. So don't do it. So he's exhorting them, get it right. Get it right. So that's basically what he's talking about here concerning the Lord's Supper. And I think it touches on just the whole gathering together of saints, that there is a purpose to gathering together, and God cares about us doing things right. He wants us to gather together for the right purpose. And so God cares about how we gather. I'll tell you, when church becomes a simple routine or like a social experiment or a self-focused thing, instead of a Christ-centered, Christ-focused body of believers, then we are in error. And we need to remember that. So we're not here just to come and have a good time and meet new people and, you know, find business partners and stuff like that. That's not what church is about. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that we can't come and have a good time, right? Nobody have fun. I want no laughing, right, during the gathering. That's not how it is. We can have fun. We can have a good time. There is fellowship in it. But we cannot make that our focus and our sole purpose and forget the things that Christ wants us to do.
Amen.
So God cares about how we gather. In fact, in Malachi, you read Malachi chapter 1, God was very angry at how the priests had made the coming to the temple something that was despised. Something that wasn't revered. People thought, okay, going to church really is meaningless because it's the same as anything else. It's like just going to a party. There's no difference. There's nothing reverential about it. There's nothing true about it. And it shouldn't be that way. God doesn't like it when we gather carelessly. He wants us to meet, but he cares what we meet and the purposes we have. So I guess I want to talk about a little bit of the symptoms of this careless gathering. And that was, like we said, irreverence. There's not a gathering together to be reverent to God. When we gather together to worship. That's a big part of gathering together. Our purpose here is to worship God, to pray to God, and to think about Him, to focus on Him. And so we shouldn't come together and not be reverent to God. We might be maybe torn about pushing things aside, right? Some, I don't know how to say this, but let's look at a couple things. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4. Our purpose is to come together and have reverence for the Lord. Our purpose is not to come together and just be entertained. Paul says that 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Okay, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So again, they're still gathering, they're still coming together, there's still a group of people that want somebody to teach, but it's the focus, it's what's actually being taught. He says, they don't want the truth, they don't want doctrine, they don't want all these things that Christ has given us and that the New Testament teaches us, they don't want that, they have itching ears, and they just simply want to heap from their own lusts, heap to themselves teachers, they have itching ears. In other words, they just want to be comforted. They just want to feel good. And so we come together and we like people that make us feel good, and that will get crowds. And so we have to be careful that this does not become the purpose of the church to get crowds and to gather a lot of people. And if the way we can do that is to stop talking about doctrine, stop talking about sin, stop confronting you, then what's the goal? What do we do? Well, the choice is going to be we're going to stick to teaching the Word of God, teaching doctrine, teaching the sound doctrine, and if that means some people don't want to come because of it, then so be it. Because we're not going to change the truth of God and the doctrine of God for people. And so we have to beware of that. We have to think about that. Because the church has a purpose. And that is, we want to know what God wants, and we're going to stay and stick with what God wants. It shouldn't be about selfishness and status divisions. And the Bible and the New Testament talks about this in different places, and that is again the difference between the rich and the poor, and where we start giving more respect for one over the other. There shouldn't be this, right? It shouldn't be like, oh, well, we respect him more because he's rich, and we don't respect this person over here because they're poor. There shouldn't be that kind of division. There shouldn't be that kind of respect of persons. And so sometimes, you know, there's hierarchies and stuff like this, and that shouldn't be how it's done in the church. The church should be done in the correct way. There shouldn't be favoritism and stuff like that. It shouldn't just become a simple routine that we do, right? Jesus and Isaiah told us, this people draw near with me, right? With their lips, right? They draw near to me with all these things, but their heart is far from me. A lot of times we can make it a habit, or it becomes a routine, and people are just doing it out of routine. Amen. But there is no real Amen. Heart there.
Amen.
And, you know, that doesn't mean that if you don't feel like going to church one day, don't go because, you know, your heart's not in it. No, listen, you know it's right to go to church, and even if you're not feeling it that morning, you need to make it a decision and go, right? And that's just how it is. We see that in the Bible also. Paul says, hey, on the first day of the week, and it's a decision-based thing, they were going to gather on that day. They were going to be there. And so yes, you have to go, and you're not always going to feel like it. But don't let church just become something like a routine where you're just going and you don't care about it. It's meaningless to you. You're just there because it's something you do. It shouldn't be that way. That's not what it's about. And remember, God does care about it. It should be around doctrinal teaching. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we see this pattern that they had. Acts 2 verse 42. Talking about the believers, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. So there was a few things they were doing. There was the doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And you know, we have doctrine, we have teaching here. Sunday mornings, there's teaching, there's preaching, and we get to fellowship together. This is a great thing to do. We should, and that should be a focus. We come here to learn, and there's doctrine, and there's teaching, and there's preaching, and we get to fellowship one with another. And then there is breaking of bread. On Sunday nights, we have the Lord's Supper, and we come together to break bread together and to remember Jesus Christ. This is what they continued in. This is what we should continue in. And then also, our church, we have Wednesday night prayer meetings, and because they continued in prayers. And as a group, as a gathering, as a body of believers, we gather together in order to pray together. Because this is important. This is what they continued in. This is what we should continue in also. And so doctrinal teaching and continuing in what the apostles gave us is important for the church. And if the church loses that focus and focuses on other things more than these, then it's stopped its function. It is not accomplishing the purpose that God has for it. If they stop focusing on doctrine, they stop focusing on the fellowship with the breaking of bread and prayers, then what is church about? So let's not forget how important these things are. Prayer and worship. Worship is an important thing about our gathering. We gather together to worship, and we worship together. We worship in breaking of bread. Whenever we have the Lord's Supper, we worship when we say, praise the Lord. When you allow your lips to sing praises or to shout praises or to say, thank you, Lord, this is praising. This is worshiping God, and it's something we do, and it's something we do together. Also singing the hymns that we have. We get together and we sing the hymns. We sing them, and this is something that's why the words are very important to us. We want words that actually are worshiping Jesus Christ and that are meaningful, because these hymns should be meaningful, what we do with them. When we come together, it should be for self-examination. As we said, he says, let everyone examine himself. When we come together, we should be considering our life. Listen, our purpose in gathering together is to help each other out, right? I mean, that's one of the purposes. We are here to, and that's why we have open meeting, where we can come and we can exhort one another, we can comfort one another, we can actually bring something that's valuable from the Word of God to help somebody else that might be in need of it. Listen, you might be studying at your house and you might learn something about a doctrine in the Bible. And you can come and you can preach that at an open meeting, and somebody that might be needing that will be there and hear it. And that's how we can help one another out. That's one of the ways that we can do that, and we can encourage one another. And we can encourage each other to be better. You know, the Bible teaches us that we should be holy. Peter stresses it. Paul stresses it. We should be striving to be holy. And striving to be holy, we have to be careful. It's not about hype, right? It's not about presenting ourselves in a fake holy manner. It's about actually striving to be holy. And when we come together, we don't want to all just come together and pretend like we're the best, you know, we're the best, we had a great week, we did nothing wrong. That's not how we should walk around. We shouldn't strut around here, everybody being proud of how good they are. The truth is, we all know you're pretty lousy. Right? We all know each other.
It's true.
And so we're not here to try to convince everybody that we're more holy than everybody else. We're here to actually, let's talk about our issues. Let's talk about our problems. I have issues. I have problems. I sin and I need help. And if you have something from the Word of God that will teach me how to overcome certain things or to stand fast against certain things or to be able to do something about it, then give me those encouraging words. Tell me, teach me, help me. We have people that can give counsel and older men that can guide younger men and things like this. This is a beautiful thing that the Lord has set up where we can help one another out and grow in both unity, because that helps the unity also. Whenever we're strutting around and we're thinking I'm better than you, I'm better than you, we're all kind of separated. It's like a competition and I'm better and that's not good for us. But if we're all real, we're truthful, we're all humble as we should be, and we can talk to each other and say, hey man, help me out. Do you have any advice for me? Do you know anything? And the truth is, I can give you advice and you can give me advice and we can grow together. And that helps the church. And so it's not about coming to church, putting on a show. It's about being real in church. And that's why at church, everybody that worships, worships Jesus Christ. Because we're not worshiping ourselves. We all know who we are and we're real. And there's that self-examination and there's repentance and there's restoration. And isn't that amazing that there's restoration in church? In church, there's restoration. Like we saw in chapter 5. Listen, sometimes somebody is walking disorderly. They're walking in a way where they're claiming they're Christian, but they are living openly in rebellion, and they don't care about that. And they have to be kicked out of the church. But you know what? There's restoration for those.
Yeah.
And that's why sin has to be confronted. Sin has to be talked about. But repentance and forgiveness, that's something we stress, because that's what Jesus Christ is about. There's other things that we're obviously about, right? As the church, that is missions. We're not about just keeping things here, right, in a closed group, and you know, we can't let anybody else in. No, the gospel and the church is about, hey, we've got such a great message that we need to reach the ends of the earth with this, because they don't know and they need to hear. And so we send missionaries out, we pray for them, and we give them some money. If you have money, we actually go and help them if you can. Do whatever you can. We are wanting to, as a body, as a congregation, help get the gospel out to other creatures. And so that's something that's very important also. So just, let's not forget that the church has a focus and has a purpose. And if we forget that focus, we become careless. If our focus changes, if it switches over to ourselves, and it's about indulgence, and it's about entertainment, it's about ourselves, then we have become careless. We've become careless to what God has given us and wants out of us. We don't want to be neglecting the Lord's Supper. I also think that it would probably be a mistake to put off the Lord's Supper and, you know, have it once a year. You know, I think that would be a big mistake. I don't think this is about something we can just disregard, in this sense. To me, he says, as often as you do this, it sounds like it's something they did pretty often. And the example we have in the scriptures was that they were doing it every week. Every first day of the week, they were doing this. And we see that as an example. So that could also be something that we don't want to lose, because we think it's not that important. And it's amazing how the Lord's Supper might seem like it's not that important or become that way. And even prayer meetings, people think that's not important. I think all these things are important and we should consider them, and we don't want to forget about them. We don't want to neglect them. So emphasize the correct things, Prioritize and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a purpose as a church. When we gather together, there's a reason for it, and we don't want to forget that reason. We don't want to forget what we're here for. And that's why we encourage each other too. You'll find, I think, that many times if you don't feel like it, sometimes you don't feel like coming to the Wednesday night prayer meeting, you don't feel like coming to the Sunday night Lord's Supper meeting or whatever, you don't feel like it, but if you actually go, you'll see that everybody else that's there, or most everybody else, is really encouraged. They're talking about the Lord Jesus. They're preaching something from the Word. There's giving doctrine. And by the time you leave, you're thinking, wow, I'm glad I came, because it refocused me on what's right and what's best. So this is what the church is about. This is the real reason we gather, and our focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should not neglect that. So we got to be careful with this error of gathering carelessly. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back at 12 o'clock. I'm sorry, 11 o'clock. We're going to take a long break, right? No, we'll be back at 11 o'clock.